Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We're scheduled to be joined by C.J. McCollum from the Washington Wizards in just a bit. And Von Miller is on the show at 9:20. So be sure to keep listening. Junks Company live from Care First Arena. We are out of the studio. We are out of our comfort zone.
It actually is kind of fun to be out and about a little bit, right?
You know, I like a road trip.
We get out of sorts. We can't find our coffee.
I had to tell myself 100 times, drive to Care First. Don't drive to the normal spot.
I know.
Drive. Put it on my alarm description, everything.
Do you know how I remembered this morning? Before I went to bed, I grabbed a Wizards jersey and I laid it on the floor.
Is that how you're – triggered it?
Yeah, so I would see Wizards.
Excellent. And then you didn't wear it? I wore my Wizards shirt. Cakes wore his Wizards shirt.
No, I wasn't going to wear a jersey in here, but I just needed something to – Do you pick out – I'm like a third grader. I pick out what I'm going to wear the night before.
I tend to do that because I don't want to do it when I'm wandering around aimlessly at 4:20 in the morning.
Right, and I try to be respectful of my wife and not turn the light on.
Yeah, I just want to be – it takes 20 seconds to do it the night before.
Yeah.
Think about it. You have to think about it.
Yeah, I always pick it out the night before. Now, I don't shower or anything. I come in there butt dirty.
I mean,
it's smelly.
There's so much speed stick underneath these pits right here. Right here.
You're a speed stick guy?
I'm a speed stick. I mean, I'm a whatever deodorant is on sale guy. Because if you don't buy deodorant at Costco, you're paying like $8 per stick
of deodorant.
It's
pretty expensive, yeah.
It's crazy.
You're not worried about all the aluminum in the deodorant? You know, some people get the...
Do I look worried about aluminum in deodorant to you?
I think guys like Eddie Vedder, they don't even wear deodorant.
I saw online CK apparently doesn't wear deodorant.
I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't listen to the segment, and I actually didn't even click on the thumbnail, but I saw that they were grilling him that he doesn't wear deodorant.
I actually need antiperspirant / deodorant.
Yeah.
Because you can't just do deodorant.
Right. You need antiperspirant.
You need the antiperspirant.
Dude, you know what I learned yesterday?
I
bet you guys didn't know this. So obviously, you know I got the new sauna from Offenbacher's. Everybody come out, get one.
Yeah, it's dehydrating. You're cramping up all the time.
You got to stay hydrated. But here's the thing. So I'm in there. It's the second time that my wife and I both been in the sauna together. And no hanky-panky. No one's thinking about it.
Hanky-panky.
You're just going in there. You're trying to get your sweat or whatever.
Sure.
And both times I've noticed that I'm drenched in sweat within about 120 seconds. I get in there. It's almost 200 degrees. Mm-hmm. I put the little water on the thing. The steam comes up. It hits me. I start sweating. 5 minutes in, The floor's drenched in sweat.
Right.
I'm completely soaked. And you look at my wife, and
nothing.
She barely has one drip of sweat.
Right.
Barely. And then I thought, well, what is going on? I mean, she's obviously she's fit. She plays tennis and everything, and she probably does maybe more cardio stuff than I do. But I can't figure it out. And I go, you know what? Maybe women just sweat differently or whatever, react to a sauna differently. I looked it up. They do. They totally. Women.
It's science.
Yes, it's science. It's fact. Women sweat less in like a sauna situation than men. It's the way their blood vessels vasodilate or something. And our heart rate increases right away. We start pouring out sweat. Mm. They handle it because we have testosterone, and they don't have like much testosterone.
Got it.
I don't know. It's a weird physiological thing
men. I learned something
today. Men sweat like 10 times more than women in a sauna.
Good. I'm glad. It feels better to sweat.
When you're in a sauna,
it feels so much better to sweat.
I was sweating Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. You know how that worked out?
Yeah.
All Cakes needed was about 25 points to win his game, and he got about 14.
I just needed average nights from both of those people, and I didn't get them. Because Mike Evans gave me a donut.
But that's why like my hamstring cramps, because it's so hard for me to stay hydrated because
right.
I sweat so much.
I've only seen the outside when they were putting
barrel.
Together.
I have the barrel one.
Right. So are you facing Dina like you guys are just like sitting there face to face?
She lays across the bench. I'm too tall. I'm too long.
All right, so I'm curious, like it's a small space, so now you're forced to talk to your wife.
We play music.
Oh, you didn't even talk.
We talk a little bit, but I mean, I'm dying. Like, you understand, I'm sweating so much.
Right.
I don't really.
Because when I go into the sauna at Lifetime Fitness,
they'll
just be random Joes talking. I'm not one of those guys. I'll sit in a corner if I ever use the steam
room. I don't want to talk when I'm
whatever,
in the sauna.
But like a lot of times there are guys, and then some guy strolls in and sits down, and then next thing you know, they're talking
then
business.
Then the conversation gets
like, why you have your AirPods.
That sounds terrible.
If you have your AirPods.
You're so antisocial. It's hilarious.
If I go into a sauna, I don't need to talk to anybody.
You don't want to talk.
I'm telling you.
Don't you sweat. Don't you have earbuds in or something when you go in a sauna?
No.
If you don't have earbuds in, you're open.
You're going to get talked
you're
to.
Like, yeah, you're like open for conversation. If you have earbuds, it shuts people off.
Right.
Yeah, I don't bring the electronics in there.
I do. I burn my phone up. I've already lost one phone.
Right. I mean,
I told you what my trick is, though, right? I do have a trick to take your phone in the sauna.
Tricky.
So you have your towel. You just pour cold water on your towel, and you put it right on the cold water, and it cools the back of it, and that'll get you through
a 20-minute section every minute of
well,
my
you
life.
Here's why you need it. You need it for the timer. Yeah. And you need it for, like, music.
I mean, there's a clock or something in there. The one that I go to, I mean, I don't use the sauna very often. They just flip, like, this little piece of wood.
I know. Well, mine doesn't have a clock in it, okay? So I have a timer, and then I use it for speakers. And then, honestly, what else are you going to do? You sit there and scroll.
Doom scroll.
Most people scroll when they're at a traffic stop.
Well, I know. Cakes, yesterday I went into the bathroom, and I could tell.
He brings his phone to the bathroom all the time.
Because his neck was like.
He scrolls at the urinal.
His neck was like this, and I was like, oh, he's got his
phone. Why don't you just wait until you get back to the table in the studio and scroll?
Because I have an opportunity.
You're just addicted.
I have a phone here, and my other hand is here, and the only problem is I use my fingerprint to open the phone.
Yeah.
So if my other hand is down here and my phone's here, and I've already started doing my business.
Other hand's down there.
Then it's awkward. Then I have to bring the hand up here and do this.
Right.
Even though it was just on your Johnson.
Doesn't matter. You know how dirty this phone is? It may be dirty. It's not as dirty as your laptop surface. Look at how dirty that is.
Yeah.
Now he's shaming you because he got shamed.
I did get shamed
during the
last week
Capitals show.
Yeah,
and he Cakes, by the way, before the show, had a little wipe and was wiping down the outside
because the monsters who watch on Monumental Sports
they can see it.
It actually looks pretty clean. Look at that.
You guys didn't say anything about it. I don't have my double laptop situation.
You're surviving. Okay.
There's only limited room. We only have so much room.
I know.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I have chips. Daisy French onion dip, pizza. I have everything on here.
That thing needs a wipe. That needs a sanitizing wipe if I've ever seen one.
I'd need some gloves if I was going to do that over there.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah.
Who knows? You might want to blacklight that.
He wants you to. The cameraman wants you to show your dirty ass laptop.
You want
to
see? You want to see?
Yeah, everybody needs to see.
I mean,
they need.
Nice Costco ad.
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeti, I don't know. You can't really say. It's too.
You got a Yeti deal we don't know about.
It's too. It's dark.
Hard to tell.
You can't believe a deal just, from Yeti.
I think
it's a lot of dirt.
I think CJ is on his way.
Yeah, I believe he's making his way over.
Should we go to break and come back, or should we just do it now? We'll just wait. We can wait.
Look how stressed out Valdez is.
Don't worry.
Hey, can we push? Can we push Von to 940? Dante, okay, do it. All right.
All right, so we'll just get CJ for as long as we can, and he's about to join us shortly.
Yeah, we'll get Siege.
Yeah.
CJ was doing radio in college.
Yeah, he's a journalist. Was he a journalism major, maybe?
How long? I have no idea.
I know he's a wine guy. Yeah. I believe he's got his own wine label.
His major was made basketball.
Well, true. But he was at Lehigh. I didn't know he was going to go to the league.
Sure. Smart guy. No doubt.
Right.
I worked at Lehigh for a whole summer for the Eagles.
I remember
Siege,
visiting you.
What's
up,
Siege?
Hey, come on, my friend. Come on.
CJ McCollum
is making his way onto the set here at Care First Arena before the Wizards take off.
All right, man. Thanks for being
on. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it. Yep, of course.
Dude. Yeah, welcome.
What's up, Siege?
You're just getting used to the D.C. traffic. I heard you saying that as you're putting your
where are you, where are you staying?
Yeah, I live
Arlington.
What's it called? No, I live in D.C.
Oh, you do?
I'm trying to think of the area.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is it Georgetown?
Is it near the arena? No.
Hold on. What is this?
It's Swank.
Capitol Hill-ish?
Capitol Hill.
Oh, Capitol Hill.
It's close to where we were. Yeah. Compare the traffic in Portland, New Orleans, and now here in Washington.
Yeah.
Well, Portland's grid is horrible. It's just a bad grid. I think it was built for maybe 500,000 people.
Uh-huh. And how many years?
It's exploded.
Probably double that now.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So that's just a bad grid. The traffic on the way to the games was horrible. But I think this is just consistently
awful
traffic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like, it's a big city. Obviously, you got Virginia and you got Maryland, which is close. So I think just the intersection of people coming to work and leaving. You just got to pick your spots, but an hour to the airport is crazy. I've never had an hour drive to the airport.
I love to ask athletes, all right, what's your full-time home? What city are you your full-time home in?
I mean, I live wherever I play. We have the farm in Oregon. We have 318 acres out there.
Is that where the winery is?
Yeah, that's where the winery is, and our nursery is there. So we spend summers, the best parts of the year, we go for harvest. And then wherever I play at is where we live. We still have our house in New Orleans.
Okay.
It's kind of rushed when you get traded.
Do you bounce around.
Work the farm at all? Do you like to get on the machinery and stuff? Because that stuff's pretty cool.
Oh, you got to protect your hands, though. I mean, you can't get near, like, a combine.
Well, he
didn't
have to
like
fix
that.
It. He could just drive it around.
Look, he's got a bandage on his finger already. Yeah. You want this guy working with farm tools?
I don't. I participated in four harvests, so it's like 4:30, 5 a.m. We get up, and we're out there sorting through the bins. You know, you cut a few of the vines just to kind of see. But, you know, we obviously have a vineyard management team. We have a farm manager, and we don't want to take away work from the staff, but we do participate and help out in – I like to walk around. I like to be outside. It's peaceful and grounding.
Yeah. How did you get into wine? Like, I enjoy wine, but I know that I know nothing about it.
Rich.
His wife.
I know he's rich. I'm well aware.
No, but he started drinking wine in college.
Yeah, my wife introduced me to wine, and then just being drafted to the Portland Trail Blazers and spending so much time in the valley.
Yep.
I like the peace. I like the tranquility. I love the fact that when you're generally drinking wine, you're more present. You're,
so you know how to
you're just chilling.
You know how to do all that. So we don't know. This is what we do. We just go.
No, I can swirl.
You can swirl. I like whiskey, too. So it's like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Have you ever done the move where you go to a restaurant and the sommelier presents the wine to you and you sip it and you're like, no. This just
this
doesn't
not good.
Taste right.
Have you
Take
ever
back.
Rejected it?
I have a few times. Sometimes the wine is corked. So like,
wow.
Or they didn't store it properly or just maybe it was just a bad batch. I have sent some wine back before, but they would have agreed that it just wasn't ready or there's something wrong with it. I don't always do that, but generally, depending on the type of restaurant
I'm in.
What's
the most you've ever spent on a bottle of wine?
Oh, now you're in his pockets.
In a restaurant or just
in a restaurant.
Online?
In a restaurant. Like
Screaming Eagle or something?
We had one of our anniversaries, we had a Mouton in the Chateau Margaux. We had a well-dated one. I mean, I probably spent $2,000.
That's all a right. lot.
That doesn't sound completely outrageous.
I usually get mine for about $35.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we buy a bottle of wine for like $20? Like we go to somebody's house,
yes. So,
and you have to show up with a bottle of wine.
Get a little Rodney Strong.
I will say this. The price isn't indicative of taste.
I'd rather talk wine than hoops. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can get the hoops later. We have wine. Obviously, we make wine. Our Pinot Noir blend is in market now. The Four Seasons just picked it up. I think the Ritz will be picking it up this week.
Oh, sweet.
I don't think it's been announced yet, but we're finalizing a partnership with Monumental Sports, so you'll be able to get the wine.
Wow.
Nice.
Our rosé is about $30.
Uh-huh. Reasonable.
Our Pinot. Nice.
Is that going to give me a big headache? No, it's going to be good.
No, it's 100% Pinot Noir. We got great fruit. We're doing it the right way, but you can get $20 bottles of wine that are still tasty. Like, it doesn't have to be $100.
I have a question. What about my wife who's Asian, and she has a hard time?
She can't
Asian,
drink it.
She has that genetic. So there's something literally in her that she has a hard time breathing and stuff. What is that?
I'm not sure, but I
some people some people say you need like
you gotta talk to a doctor.
It's not Dr. CJ McCollum.
No, you never heard
it's
of
an Asian
no,
thing.
I got a couple of homies that are Asian, and they told me the same thing.
Yeah, they can't breathe.
They don't drink as much or not at all. And a couple times he's tasted the wine, he's like, I can only have a little bit. So I don't know what it is.
I've seen some Asians get hammered. It doesn't affect all Asians the same way.
That's true.
Right.
Ask your father-in-law.
He can drink. I can tell you that.
CJ, just to kind of bring it back to basketball, because you seem to be a well-rounded guy. Mm-hmm. At Lehigh, you started doing radio, right?
Yeah.
And you've got a podcast. You're talking about wine. You've got all these other things. It kind of went viral that you have advised Trey Johnson to have hobbies.
Yeah.
Who is the draft choice here. All he does is hoop. Has he picked up any hobbies? Like, what were your recommendations? Because he basically said he hoops and he sleeps and that's it.
Yeah, sleeping and hooping is great. And I'm not trying to, like, change who he is. I just think that on and off day, if you're not going to work out, it's like, what do you do for the entire – it's 24 hours in a day.
They do video games, right?
Yeah.
Is that what the kids do?
I told them to, like, play a little bit of video games, like, watch a TV show, like, find some other things that can kind of distract you, because this is a great job, right? But it becomes a lot at times, and you have to be able to try to escape it. He doesn't have a dog, I don't think. But, like, there's little things. Go on a walk. Like, it doesn't have to be something crazy, like a hobby that you pick up that is distracting. It could be healthy hobbies like yoga or boxing or swimming, things that can be more productive towards your sport. I always say healthy hobbies are great. Healthy distractions are great and can be helpful, especially in the midst of chaos. Like, we play a chaotic sport. You travel a lot. You're in different cities. You're going to be going to the wrong room and thinking that you were in 228, but you really was in 228 two cities ago. So it's like all those things are going to occur. But I think he's settling it in and kind of getting an understanding of the NBA schedule of you. Even if you put 5 hours in a day, there's still a lot of time left.
How do you go from Lehigh to NBA superstar? How'd that happen? How highly recruited were you coming out of high school?
I was lightly recruited. I'm trying to think. Bowling Green was my first offer.
All right.
I played for King James, and I think I was lightly recruited because I was small.
So right.
I averaged 6 points a game as a sophomore. I came off the bench. Then I went to 5'11", and I averaged 25 a game my junior year, and I played for LeBron James' AAU team. And playing in those tournaments, teams started recruiting me. But
right.
I think my biggest offer was Boise State at one point, but I had a lot of mid-major schools offer me and recruit me. But it was a point in time in which you had to commit pretty fast. Otherwise, the scholarship was gone. So then I started getting calls like, hey, sorry to tell you, this kid committed. Like, we no longer have a scholarship. But Lehigh was there from the beginning. It was the second school to offer me, and I just felt like it was a great fit.
How many years did you stay?
I did four.
Yeah. You did all four.
Can you imagine if you were playing now with the portal?
Oh, man, I think about that a lot.
You would have been making cash, and you would have been in the ACC.
And I wouldn't have gone to Duke. But I think I think it was really cool for me in a grounding experience to go to a school like Lehigh where you were challenged on the court, obviously off the court. And when you go to a smaller school, you have less resources, but you're asked to do more. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to learn how to, like, manage guys. I had to learn how to manage my time. I had to learn how to defend. I had to learn how to pass. I had to learn how to create. And you have to do a lot of it by yourself. You go to some of those bigger schools, and it's no offense to them, but you have so much talent out there. You kind of stay in your lane. I had to learn how to do a lot of different stuff while balancing a crazy curriculum.
Right.
All right, so you go to Portland. Let's kind of get it back to the Wizards. While you're in Portland, great backcourt. Made it to the Western Conference Finals once, playoff contender. You get traded in New Orleans. I think two seasons ago you guys were in the playoffs. Last season, not so great. You end up here in Washington. What's kind of your perception of this team and what they're doing?
I think what they're building is going to be special. Obviously, they're very young, not a lot of talent. They're very young and not a lot of old talent right, on the team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, me and Chris are the 34-year-olds on the team. But I think you have the right sprinkle of veterans. You got the right sprinkle of young, hungry players who are going to continue to get better. You'll see big jumps in guys from 19 to 20, 19 to 22, 23.
Did you play against some of these guys last year?
I did. I played pretty well against him, too.
What'd you think of, like, Bub, for example?
No, I love the way he works, right? I like his mentality. I like the fact that he asks questions. You know, I come in the gym, I double back at night a lot. Keyshawn's here, AJ's here, Bub's here. Guys are working. Champagne is here. Like, guys really care about the development. They really care about the game. Obviously, you have a lot of guys who play for the national team. So being able to play basketball year-round, I think, is helpful. Obviously, you get those breaks, but that's how you stay in shape. That's how you grow. International basketball is really important. Obviously, you see Sar right here. Mm-hmm. I think that they got a really good group. Yeah. When I say they, I think about, like, the front office. Like,
right,
they did a great job of finding certain types of personalities, right, to kind of mesh. They're young, right, but they're hungry. You know, I've played with a lot of different types of guys, and I think for them they're just unique in that they're young but, like, maturing pretty fast at a rapid pace. And I think you guys are going to be impressed with a lot of the internal development. And then the staff has done a great job of – they get their daily vitamins in, they're lifting – they're getting their PT work, and they really take the game seriously.
One last question for me, since you slid in that anti-Duke comment. Your teammates were Zion Williamson, right?
Yeah.
Was it a circus around him?
I would never speak bad about Z, man. He's a good friend of mine, and I actually texted him the other day. He doesn't always respond to my texts, but I would tell him that to his face. But I think he's learned a lot. He's growing as an individual. Obviously, he's mature, and he's done a great job of taking care of his body, kind of transitioning from the end of last season, which, you know, we didn't obviously play well as a team last year in New Orleans, into now. I think he's matured a lot. I think he's learned a lot from me. He learned a lot from the guys around him. And I think he understands the sense of urgency that he has to have at this stage in his career.
CJ, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate
it,
buddy. We're
going to get you on again.
Best of luck in Milwaukee, man. And we look forward to sampling your wine at some
absolutely
point.
Absolutely. 100%. I'll make sure you guys get some.
That's
we'll
what be, I'm talking
we'll be doing
about.
Some events, and I'll get your
excellent
information, and you can let me know what you think about the rosé. It's 100% Pinot Noir.
I'm a big Napa cat.
You know, we should negotiate.
We'll give our cultured reviews of your wine.
Yeah, we should negotiate because our next guest is Von Miller.
Yep.
Von Miller's a chicken guy, right?
Yeah,
he's a farmer. He's got chicken. Like, guys, do a swap. Yeah, like wine for chicken.
Collaboration.
For sure.
We'll do that.
I know you like bold calves, but my Pinot is very smooth. If you have never had Oregon Pinot before, you really enjoy this. And if you have, you haven't had mine. So you should.
Oh, I can't wait.
CJ McCollum, one of the newest additions to the Washington Wizards. They take on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. Coming up next, Von Miller from the Washington Commanders.
Wizards open up tonight against the Bucks. It is going to be another season where it's going to be all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All about the young guys and the development of the young guys, even though there are a couple of veterans on the roster. Chase Hughes will be documenting the season, covering it as he has for many years now for Monumental Sports. He's also a radio sideline reporter for the Wizards Radio Network. You can follow Chase on X at Chase DC Sports. And he's got a YouTube show, podcast called Off the Bench. So you can get that anywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube, and probably he'll link it from his X account. So, you know, it snuck up on us this season. Real quickly, did you watch both games last night?
I watched the entirety of the first one and part of the second one.
First of all, love the NBC return to the NBA. I mean, for me, it's, you know, a throwback to the Jordan era and those great, you know, 90s era games. But how about Kevin Durant not getting teed up for calling that timeout, doing the Chris Webber thing at the end of the first overtime? How did he get away with that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander talk about it after the game and said that if you were on the court, you could see it. And you could hear it. I mean, even in that loud stadium, one of the loudest in the league, you heard him try to do it about three times. And SGA was very forgiving. He said, you know, people make mistakes. The refs made mistakes. But if OKC had lost that game, I wonder what he would have said.
I'm wondering if you observed the same thing last night about Kevin Durant. I said this at the beginning of the show. I thought he looked old last night. I thought he looked 37 years old. He couldn't get separation. Now, look, Oklahoma City is one of the great defensive teams in modern era NBA basketball. It is hard against that team, as we saw during the postseason last year. But I thought he looked really old and not KD-like. Did you see the same thing or not?
I did notice that. I would say, first of all, OKC's defense might be one of the best of all time.
Like, yeah, of course.
And so when I was watching, like, Reed Shepard and Amen Thompson, two guys who I think are going to be really good, Amen Thompson in particular, they couldn't really get by anyone. And I'm wondering, like, okay, well, what happens when they play a normal team, a human basketball team, right, that doesn't have that defense? But in terms of Kevin Durant, you know, it is interesting. You know, everyone, I think, accurately predicted that his game would age really well. Even after the Achilles injury, everyone thought he'd have a chance to come back and still be really good because of the way he plays. And he has. But if you look deeper at the numbers, he doesn't really get to the rim or get dribble penetration at all anymore. He's really an outside shooter, and he's still really, really good at it. He'll still give you 26, 27 points per game. But that other element of his game is really diminished. So, you know, Father Time is undefeated. I think that's, you know, a given. But it will be interesting to see how he fits in. And, you know, can the Rockets continue to be the powerhouse that they were last year, incorporating him? Because other teams have tried, and obviously it hasn't been as easy as you might think it would be.
Yeah, I do think Amen Thompson is going to be a star, and I think everybody believes that. It's just, it was an interesting, you know, first game and first matchup, and yeah, what you said is true. I mean, I just think back to May and June and what Oklahoma City did defensively. It was some of the most unbelievably, you know, it was so overwhelming, their defense at times. I would come in here, you know, after a game, and they couldn't make, it's like the other team couldn't make a first down. You know, they couldn't make forward progress in some of those drives. So yeah, tough matchup for the opener, for Kevin Durant. All right, let's talk about the Wizards. It's, you know, going to be another one of those seasons. Before we talk about the roster and what you're expecting, you know, just overall, I mean, you think this is what, year three of year what before we can expect a competitive team?
I think 5 years total. I mean, I think the timeline that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have alluded to is, you know, certainly they don't expect to compete for the postseason this year. But, you know, based on what they've said and the average NBA rebuild, you know, maybe next year, certainly the year after that. So I think probably 4 to 5 years. I kind of look at rebuilds in terms of how many drafts have you done. They've done 3 drafts. I think the average NBA rebuild's probably 4 to 5 drafts, right? You're not going to be picking top 5, top 10 forever. So they've collected a lot of picks. And I think what will be exciting to watch this year is that, you know, they needed time to collect those draft picks. And now they have them. So there's a like a bounty of young players, a lot of whom were hand-selected by the team in the first round. And now I think we can really start evaluating what is hopefully meaningful progress for their young players. And it's, you know, the rookies, obviously we're going to watch Trey Johnson and Will Riley and what they do, but the year-over-year development is absolutely essential to what they're trying to do. Will Dawkins and Mike Winger have talked about it many times, but player development is like probably the most important ingredient to what has been successful in Oklahoma City. And they believe that, you know, if you draft a guy in the first round, they really begin at a very similar starting point to every other first round pick. It's what happens after that. And they've also said that it takes, you know, close to 10 years to see a guy reach his peak. Obviously they don't expect for it to take 10 years to be a competitive team, but like a Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Starr, Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, these guys who have been in the system for a year plus, like they're looking for those guys to take steps forward.
What do you think about that? I think that's a really interesting point. I don't think people think about it that way, but it's true that, you know, a lot of these players, unless they're true transcendent talents, but, you know, everybody else, it's, you know, it's a matter of did they get drafted by the team where they're the right fit and they're being developed by the right people? So do the Wizards have a good developmental team?
I think they do. I think Brian Keefe being in charge is an important thing to note because of his track record, not only in Oklahoma City with guys like SGA and Durant and Westbrook and Harden, but players at other stops too. He's got a really good background in that regard. But, you know, ultimately they got to walk the walk in that sense, right? And so I think you look at these young players, you know, can they maximize their strengths, minimize their weaknesses? Can they find the right role for themselves? I think Keyshawn George will be an interesting guy to watch this year. He's a little bit older and more experienced than the other first round picks. And I think he's
older, by the way, meaning the what? 21, 22?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I say older, it's all relative.
Right.
But he has arguably shown the most promise, I think, as a two-way player.
Me too.
And that might be surprising to some people because he was the 24th pick.
Yeah.
But he really came on in the second half last year. The shooting never really caught up, but that was considered his biggest strength as a draft prospect. And then he was the best player on the summer league team. I think he was one of the best players in the preseason. You hear about practices behind the scenes. He's the one who is, you know, hitting the game-winning shots in the scrimmages they play. So I think he could be a great example, but, you know, certainly they would like to see a collection of these young guys take steps forward.
All right. So, by the way, and I didn't consume it like I typically do last year, but I kept saying, you know, he's the guy that has the best sort of two-way ability. And I think most NBA fans, most people know, it's really not about where they get drafted. We've seen so many of these stars end up going from the middle of the first round to, you know, obviously Jokic in the second round, who's the best player in the game today. So what I want you to do here for the next, you know, minute or two is give me the order of their young players, the drafted players, the acquired players, because they didn't draft all of these young first rounders. But out of all of these young players that we're going to be watching, hopefully develop, in terms of your personal view of how it will shake out 3 to 4 years from now, biggest contributor to the least amount of contribution. How do you see these young players shaking out? And I'll start by asking you this before you get to your order. Is there a true potential top five superstar on their roster right now, future?
That's a great question. I'll kind of frame this as like a top prospects list. You know, I used to cover baseball.
Yeah.
I might put Keyshawn George atop that list, to be honest, because you and I have both seen it, as you mentioned, and I also hear it from scouts and like people with other teams. Like there are a lot of people around the league who think he's going to be a good player. And he's just got great feel. He's got a competitive edge that I really respect and I think will carry him a long way. So I'll start with him. I think I'll go Bilal Coulibaly second. And I'm surprised with people because, you know,
we're having a bit of an issue with your phone, and I don't want to miss this. So let's just try to get a clear. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
It's breaking up a little bit. So I'll let Max kind of figure it out with you because I don't want to miss any of these names. Coulibaly second. That's actually a surprise that he went with Coulibaly second. I love Coulibaly as a defender. I love him as a defender. I am getting a little bit concerned, and I shouldn't because, you know, this is just, you know, year three upcoming. But I wish he were a more consistent three-point shooting threat. He can guard you, though. He can absolutely guard you. Have we reestablished a better connection with Chase?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I got you now. Go ahead. So Coulibaly second. Why?
I'll go with him second. I know he's taken some heat for his offensive development last year, but if you look at the defensive metrics, he's like pretty close to being like an upper echelon wing defender. And so just seeing that, I think gives me confidence that at a minimum, he could be a really good defensive player. After that, I'll go Alex Starr. I think obviously he's going to have to improve his shooting, but his potential on defense is very obvious. I mean, he could be a prototypical 4/5 switch defender. Bub Carrington, I would probably put next. I was really impressed with what he did down the stretch of last season. And I was kind of answering a similar question in previous interviews where I said I really liked his potential, maybe compared to the rest of the roster. But you know, he struggled a little bit in the summer league and a little bit in the preseason. So I'll put him behind Saar right now. And then Cam Whitmore. I mean, I'm really obviously intrigued in Cam Whitmore, but we got to see him defend and be a willing passer. I obviously, the talent is amazing. I thought he was a top five, top six pick in the draft. He fell for those kind of reasons, and he had those problems in Houston, and the Wizards aren't going to like allow him to play any different way than Houston did. They want to see the same thing, so that kind of remains to be seen. And then I guess Will Riley would be the next one, unless I'm missing someone. Will Riley is just, you know, younger and less developed than the other guys, but
yeah,
he was one of the most impressive players in the preseason, and I've heard some really good things about him from the veterans.
He's tough, man. I loved him at Illinois last year.
Yeah, he's got a great motor and a great feel for the game. And CJ McCollum, just a couple of details here. I asked him for a scouting report. He said he's like a very advanced cutter for his age. It reminds him of a European player, and that he's got a very advanced use of his pivot foot, which I thought was a really cool detail. And he told me that, and I started to see it in the preseason. So if you're a Wizards fan, look out for that when Will Riley's on the court.
What do you think we're going to get from Trey Johnson? And do you have, like, if we went to next year at this time and I asked you the same question, is there a chance he's at the top of the list?
Yeah, I'll put Trey Johnson actually number two. I don't know how I forgot him. There's just too many young guys. But
yeah, no, that's fine. He hasn't played an NBA game yet, so it's fine.
Right. But I'm pretty high on Trey Johnson, at least as an offensive prospect. I think he's the best offensive talent they've drafted since Bradley Beal in 2012. I think he's going to hit the ground running as a shooter. Obviously, he's going to have to improve, you know, his ability to create off the dribble, his ability to defend. But I think he has a chance to put up a lot of points this year, and I think that's a big reason why he's second in Rookie of the Year odds behind Cooper Flagg.
I want to mention something to you. It's not about this roster. It is in some way, shape, or form, because they traded this player and they ended up getting, you know, some picks, and I think Bub Carrington was one of them. I was not a fan of them trading Denny Avdija. Do you think they're going to regret trading him?
I still think you could say it definitively, but certainly it's possible. I mean, you know, Bub Carrington's development is really important for that, but they also got a first round pick down the road. So like that trade is, you're not going to be able to evaluate in totality for quite a while, but you know, certainly Denny took a big step forward last year.
Huge step. He had taken a big step the year before in his last year here.
He had, and you know, one more big step, and you know, we might be talking about, you know, a borderline all-star, and you and I have talked about whether he has all-star potential before, but
I always thought he did. I may be wrong, but he averaged, you know, I was looking at something before having you on the show today. In the last month of the regular season in Portland, he averaged 23.4 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 5.2 assists over the final 13 games. For the season, he had a step-up season, averaged 16, 8, and 4. Plus, you know, he can get after it defensively. I just think his versatility, his size, I do think there's still a chance, because he's just 23 or 24 years old, that he could be an all-star future.
Yeah, and those numbers were tanked by the beginning of the season where he had to adjust to the trade. And he's kind of an emotional guy. I think it really kind of shook him up. And he had to adjust to a lot of new things, new city, all that. But, you know, when they made the trade, it was, okay, what is Bob Carrington going to look like when he's the age that Denny is now? You know, they're really taking the long view with this. So it's still very early in his development, and there's a lot of reason to believe that Bob Carrington could become a really good player. So I think we're just going to have to keep checking back on that one.
Talking to Chase Hughes, of course, he covers the team for Monumental. So give me a sense of what we're going to see. You know, by the way, so on the list, you essentially said, you know, Kyshawn, you think George and Trey Johnson, if 5 years from now they're a contender, 3 years from now they're competitive, 5 years from now they're a contender, that those two have a chance to be legitimate, you know, star players. And maybe they'll be paired with a Cameron Boozer or somebody out of the next draft or two. But you like their potential the most to spearhead, you know, a contending team 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I do. I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson's one of the highest picks that they've made. And that was in what is considered to be a good draft, you know, unlike the draft that Sar went second. And with Keyshawn, you know, I've seen it already. Like I've seen it and I've heard it from scouts. So like, I'm a big believer in, yes, like it's always fun to talk about potential and what a guy could be in theory. But when you see them out on the court actually produce, that says something to me. And I've seen that from Keyshawn George. So I really think he's got a high ceiling and can be one of those guys.
All right, starting tonight, you know, real games. So how will they trot out starting lineup and then kind of the top, you know, 8 or 9?
Well, the starting lineup, I think, is going to be the same that they had in the first and third preseason games, which was...
I didn't watch either one of those two, so tell me who that is.
I think they coincided with the NFL games. Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Keyshawn George, Chris Middleton, and Alex Sarr. That was the starting five. Trey Johnson will be one of the first players off the bench. Bilal Coulibaly is starting the season hurt. Corey Kispert, Justin Champagny, Marvin Bagley, I think they'll be in there. I'm trying to think who I'd be missing. I mean, A.J. Johnson's been banged up. I think he'll get some minutes. And Cam Whitmore is the big question mark. You know, we saw him play some in the preseason. I'm sure he'll get his opportunity. But this season's going to be interesting in that regard, because I think if the opportunity isn't there for some young guys, and it won't be for everyone, you know, maybe it will be after the trade deadline, or maybe it will be as injuries pave the way. So whatever you see with the rotation tonight, I think by the end of the season, they're going to make sure that they get all these young guys plenty of minutes.
How are CJ, like, how is CJ McCollum blending in? Is he, because, you know, when you make a trade for a Middleton, who's always been a class act and a great teammate, McCollum, the same thing, you're looking for more than just veteran, you know, play on the floor when you're in the stage the Wizards are in now. How about the other stuff with them? Are they mentors? Are they in on this rebuild or not?
I think McCollum, I think both of them are willing mentors, and they are answering a lot of questions for the young guys. And I think McCollum in particular has an interesting angle there, because Bob Carrington has long sort of seen some of himself in CJ McCollum. His older brother went to Lehigh. He's long been compared to CJ McCollum. And McCollum told me a great story. It was actually about Jahmyr Watkins, who's the Wizards' second round pick from this past draft. He said they were in the cold tub at the practice facility, and Watkins was asking him about Herb Jones, who McCollum played with in New Orleans with the Pelicans.
The Alabama both, player, Herb. You're saying Herb Jones.
Yeah. Did I not say Herb Jones? Herb Jones? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he was saying Watkins was asking him not only like, how does this guy prepare? He's one of the best wing defenders in the league, Irv Jones is. And he was like, how does he prepare? And then also as an offensive player, you went up against him in practice many times. What makes him effective? So I think the Wizards have brought in a lot of young players who are inquisitive like that. And McCollum and Middleton too, they happen to be very like gracious and willing mentors, but also guys who are just very good at explaining things. And I mean, I think you watch an interview, particularly with McCollum, and you see that right away. So I think there's definitely a good veteran influence in this locker room. And the McCollum-Carrington thing could be interesting to watch because of their parallels.
All right, the over-under on wins is 20.5, over or under?
I'll go slightly over. I think they'll get to 21 or 22. You know, one thing when it comes to the wins that's got to be kept in mind is the protections on their first-round pick. They have to really be top eight in the draft if they want to keep that pick. Because the New York Knicks own it. It's the same draft pick they traded with John Wall to get Russell Westbrook. And last year, the threshold for the fourth worst record in the league, which would ensure you a top eight pick, was 21 wins. It was the Pelicans, I believe, actually. So that's kind of the range. They won 15, 18. I think they take another step forward, a slight step forward, and hopefully see some development from their young players.
Can you imagine having to get is it with Phoenix or New York that they would lose the pick to if they finished, you know, with the ninth worst record?
So Phoenix is involved, but it's New York, and if they keep the pick, then they can swap with the Phoenix Suns, but they have to keep the pick to be able to do that.
Got it. Okay. People, you want them to finish with one of the eight worst records. And really, last year, that buzzer beater by Bob Carrington in the final game of the year cost them some opportunity on the downside of their draft position. It's like it's a weird spot, right? It's another year of rooting to see hope and development, but not win too many games to get out of that position. I know you've probably spent a lot of time looking at next year's draft. For a few years now, it's been the Cameron Boozer draft, but now I know the kid from Kansas is at the top of a lot of boards now. So if they ended up with number one in the 2026 draft, is there an obvious, you know, a Wembanyama or Cooper Flagg would have been certainly in so many ways, you know, impactful beyond even the basketball floor. But is there a player at the top of that 2026 draft that everybody will be salivating to get?
I think so. There's no Wembanyama. There's no LeBron. There's no Shaq. Those guys come around every 20 years, and they just have physical advantages that make it so that they're obviously going to be superstars. But there could be a Cooper Flagg or an Anthony Edwards, or maybe both, because I think A.J. DeBanza at BYU has a lot of similarities to Cooper Flagg. I think he's going to be the number one pick right now, but these guys haven't really played any meaningful games. Darren Peterson of Kansas would be that Anthony Edwards type, but, you know, we got to see them play. You know, there's a lot of guys who have been highly ranked coming out of high school. You know, Cameron Boozer, I like him too. He's right now considered like the third pick, but, you know, you got to see the shooting percentages. You got to see how they look compared to other athletes. And, you know, like for every Anthony Edwards type athlete, there's two or three guys who are arguably just as athletic, maybe not quite as athletic, that just don't know how to play basketball, right? So we got to see it. But I think A.J. DeBanza, BYU, Darren Peterson, Kansas, and Cam Boozer at Duke are the three guys to watch right now. And they all three look like they could be really good.
Thanks for doing this. As always, enjoy the season. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and don't forget, Chase has a podcast that is excellent on YouTube and Monumental. It's called Off the Bench. So Chase's podcast, if you're a Wizards fan, check it out. And you can get a link to it and more information on it on his X account at Chase DC Sports. All right, back to football when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I believe we're trying to reach Glenn Consor, who does Wizards broadcasts right here on Team 980, with our guy Dave Johnson. Glenn also does a ton of monumental work. I want to talk to Glenn. The Wiz do kick off their season tonight. NBA is back. We all watched it last night. I felt very nostalgic watching NBA on NBC. We were talking about it yesterday, and it just reminds me, David Aldridge was talking about, you know, watching. For me, I just think of MJ. I think of MJ in the Garden.
Did you see him talking to MJ last night?
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was cool.
That was cool. Yeah, because... You know, it's like he said, I wish I could just, you know, go back in time and be able to just go out there and play again, one more game. I would love to see that. I would love to see that. He would destroy folks.
Yeah. I mean, I told you about when I was in LA, I had dinner and there was an NBA assistant coach at the table. It was a table of like 10, 12 people. It was a lot of fun. But the LeBron... MJ conversation came up and he just laughed. He's like, man, you don't think MJ could play in today's NBA? He's like, MJ could play in the 1940s.
Play whenever.
Yeah. And just
and, but like people,
his
like,
level of competitive
people
desire.
Like to say, well, 3-point shoot. Remember they said he couldn't shoot 3-pointers against Portland?
Not and on five
his,
of them.
On his seventh one, he gave you the, I still can't shoot. You know, the man. The man scored, he averaged 35 in a time when you can take people out the air. You can clothesline them. You think he wouldn't average more than 35 today? I listened to this thing where they go and they talk to Hall of Famers, guys that played against him. And those guys are like, he'll score at least 50 in this day and age. You know, some guy believe he might score more than that. And then he'll D your ass up. Which we don't see happening today. Luka scored 47 last night. I like to know what the plus minus was.
I'll try to find that.
Yeah.
Just quickly for the, you know, season's over. You gotta be worried about Jaden and the injuries. Lamar Jackson not practicing today. All right, let's do some Wiz talk. Our friend Glenn Consor joins the program
right
now. Glenn, what's up, dude?
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good. B. Mitch and JP, my two favorites.
How you been, man? I ain't talked to you in a month.
I know. I know. Everything's good, man. We're here in Milwaukee. We're getting ready to start up, and we're geared up and ready to go.
Radio party tonight with Glenn and Dave Johnson. Always love the radio party. I feel like you guys are so good at retweeting all the folks listening from various places. I think everybody has an understanding of what this Wiz season will and won't be. What are you most excited for this Wizards team?
You know, I'm excited to see the development of the young players, which is kind of what the objective is of the season. Look, they want to compete. You know, they want to win. I don't know if they're built to win right now, but, you know, they're built to develop and evolve, you know, with 10 players that are – they have 10 players, guys, that are 22 years or younger.
Damn.
That is like, crazy young. And, you know, but they have 7 players that were taken in the first round of the last 3 drafts. So there's some young talent that I think, you know, at least – like, I'm an old NBA scout, so I like to watch young players develop. And I think we're going to see that this year. I think you're going to see guys taking jumps.
I think you'd like to see that. If you want to listen to the radio party tonight, Dave Johnson, Glenn Consor, live in Milwaukee, you can listen right here on 106.7 The Fan, the flagship for all your Wizards games. I'm really excited for Trey Johnson. I think the rookie's got serious game range. What do you think? How quickly do you think Trey's game can translate to the NBA level?
I think it can. I think, you know, he's so, but again, he's so young. I mean, he's 19, you know, so like he should be a sophomore at Texas. I think, you know, with the way he plays, it's going to translate because not, you know, everyone talks about how he, you know, he could shoot the lights out, which he can, but he's more than just a shooter. He's a scorer. You know, he's got a snake dribble. If you play him one side, he's going to, you know, drop step, go the other side. He's got crossovers to get him into the paint, and he could finish in the paint too, which is what I like about him. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's so young, there's got to be a learning curve. And, you know, I think he looked good in the preseason. But remember, he went to Texas and as a freshman led the team in scoring.
Wow.
You know, which, and they had upperclassmen on that team, you know, that were looking to be quote unquote the guy. Well, you know, he comes in as a freshman and he was the guy, and, you know, and he's a gym rat, you know,
yeah.
You know, the big thing with him is he doesn't have hobbies, you know, like you ask him, like, what do you like to do? He just likes the ball. I mean, he's a baller.
Yeah.
Old school.
Glenn, like the thing about it, people try to say like, you know, defense, people don't play defense anymore. There are people that play defense. And when you look at the games last night, hell, Houston played. The score ended up being 125, 124. They had double overtime. But you watch both of those teams, Thunder and also Houston, they are playing defense. Who are those guys on this team you think can help this team be good on the defense side as well?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, you saw the game last night, B. Mitch and JP.
Yeah.
Those, how physical were those games?
Yes.
I mean, they got bodybuilders that are body slamming guys. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting after it. It's like, you know, and I think it's going to take time to learn the mentality of defending in the NBA with this young team. But I really like the way Keyshawn George defends. You know, he's now 6'9". He came in, you know, smaller, but he's got a great, you know how they say you got a great feel for offense? He's got a great feel for defense. He's long, gets his hands on balls. You know, he gets deflections, plays passing lanes real well. He's tough. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a little taste of Giannis tonight. So that'll be an interesting matchup with him and Giannis. These guys are getting baptized, you know, in the NBA defensively. Alex Saar is really good on defense.
Yes.
He's got good instincts. Bilal's really good on defense. And I think someone who reminds me a lot, JP, of B. Mitch, he's a fullback and a basketball body, Cam Whitmore, if he could translate his body style and his explosiveness to the defensive end, potentially he could be a very good defensive player.
I like that.
My new favorite player now.
picture B. Mitch, 6'4", like 260, with a Wizards uniform on. In B. Mitch's heyday.
Wow.
That's him.
That's no joke.
JP, you get a visual of that, JP?
I got you, man. I think I got it. I like it. That's an imposing fella.
I know, man.
Dude, how's Bub's development? What do you want to see for Bub? He's a really fun, exciting player.
Yes.
He really is. I mean, I think what you got in Bub is, man, he's like a sponge. First of all, I will tell you, he has tapped into C.J. McCollum really well. Like, you always see C.J. talking to him. I got to believe those two guys are going to start in the backcourt together tonight. But Bub's got a real nice feel for the game as another young player in this league. From a point guard standpoint, it's not an easy position to play, but he's got the ball in his hands. I think what I like best about Bub is he plays with an edge.
Definitely.
You know, you need dogs out there, D-A-W-G or D-O-double-G, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys that could play with an edge on defense and get after you. I think he's an improved three-point shooter. I like his mid-range. He just plays really well. You know, he's one of the rare young guys that came into the league with a real good feel of how to play the pick-and-roll game, which, as you guys know, is like 70% of offensive sets
totally.
In the NBA. So he really has a good feel for that, when to pull up, when to keep it, when to dish, when to lob. I like, and I think you're going to see a more vocal Bub this year, which I think he's developing beautifully.
At one, you say you want to see the development of the young guys, but one thing as a team thing that you would like to see?
I think as a team, you know, you're going to see these guys that like to play together. You know, it's funny. They're all so young. It's almost like a college, collegiate, jovial atmosphere that they like playing together. And I think you're going to see them evolve as a team of connecting with the youth and sprinkled in with the C.J. McCollums and Chris Middletons and Marvin Bagley and Corey Kispert of the world. And, you know, those guys, I think to see the mixture of those guys as the season progresses is going to be fun to watch. But, look, it's going to be a tough year. You guys know that.
Yeah,
certainly. Glenn, we're excited for tonight. We're excited to just have Wiz basketball back in our lives. Excited for the radio party. If you want to listen to Wizards Bucks tonight, right here on 106.7 The Fan, the flagship for Wizards basketball, watch it on Monumental with Chris and Drew on the call. Thanks for making time for us, Glenn. Hope you're enjoying Milwaukee, dude.
I am. Great to talk to you guys, always.
Likewise.
All right, man. Take care.
That's Glenn Consor. Give him a follow at Glenn Consor. Two N's in Glenn, Consor. Of course, Glenn joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline.
Varun Shankar, Washington Post, covers the Wiz as they get ready to kick off a brand new season tonight. Varun's going to be fun. We're excited. Set the table for the 25-26 campaign.
It will be another season of rebuilding for the Wizards. They have been pretty explicit about the fact that they still believe they are early in this rebuild. But there's a lot more young pieces for them to work with this year. And so it will be a season of competition. It will be a season of exploration. And what the Wizards hope is a season of separation where they start to see some stratification between the young players on this roster.
I'm a little bit pre-worried, if that's a thing, Varun, about Trey Johnson being brought along too slowly. I want that young man thrown into the deep end with all the pool toys, and I want to let him explore the space. But I'm worried it's going to be a lot more C.J. McCollum and a lot of veterans that aren't part of the long-term plan here for a little bit too long, and I might be frustrated by that early season. Give me your reaction.
I think it's fine that the veterans are playing. I think it's good for the young guys on the team to have an infrastructure to work around with. It's helpful for Trey Johnson to play alongside C.J. McCollum, in addition to playing alongside a guy like Bob Carrington, because when you have two young guards out there, it can get really frenetic. It can get really hectic, and you might get yourself to a position where you're just playing disorganized offense and it's kind of all over the place. And having a more veteran guy can slow it down a little bit, get things more organized, and help you have a more functional offense. That can only help a guy like Trey Johnson, who at this point in his career is still going to be a primarily off-the-ball player who's going to need to have looks generated for him.
What should we expect from the top pick, and what kind of minutes should we anticipate in the early going here?
I would anticipate around like 20, 25 minutes. He'll be one of the first guys off the bench for Brian Keith. We'll see how that progresses along the season. there's a chance that he might get a starter's job before the end of the year. There's a chance that, you know, the return of Bilal Coulibaly could throw things off a little bit, but I expect him to play a lot. The Wizards need his shooting, and they also have obviously invested a lot in him and believe that playing is the best way for a player like him to improve. He's so young, of course. Expectations, I think you want to see him shoot the ball well. It's going to be tough. There's obviously an adjustment that comes with coming to the NBA, but that's his go-to skill, and you want to see that translate to a certain degree. He doesn't need to shoot 40% out the gate, but if he's shooting in the mid-30s, that's a positive sign from three.
What's the 2.0 version of Alex Saar looking like here?
I would like to see the 2.0 version of Alex Saar be a lot of the same things we saw last year, where you saw the rim protection, you saw the ability to switch out into the perimeter on defense. I'd like to see him be better as a defensive rebounder. That's not just him, that's the entire team, but it's also something that he in particular needs to get better at as the big man. I'd like to see him be more forceful inside when he gets the ball. That comes with rolling hard after he sets a screen. He popped a lot last year to the perimeter, and that got him open three-pointers, but at this point in career, he's not a dynamic three-point shooter. That's something that could come with time, but when he rolls to the rim, he's going to draw the defense in, and that's going to open up shots outside for other players and also help him. But when he rolls, he also needs to be more aggressive with his finishing, going straight up rather than fading away like he did last time at times last season. So those are the things I'd like to see.
Varun, Bucks tonight. Give us a little idea of what Washington's in for in game one with Milwaukee.
I mean, it all starts and ends with Giannis there right now. There's not, they have Miles Turner, who's a pretty decent player, but again, it is all about Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he is going to give the Wizards fits like he does for every team.
As we look at this rotation, in terms of some of the veterans who are here right now, I know you mentioned it's good for them to have some of the structure, but guys like Chris Middleton, guys like CJ McCollum and company, how long are they going to be here, do you think? And I don't mean that in like a get out of here kind of way, but like they're probably not part of the long-term plan here, Varun. What do you think their role is this year, and how will they kind of be passing the torch and so on?
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys are on expiring contracts. There's a chance that one of them or two of them gets traded at the deadline. I think that's still pretty unlikely just because they do command pretty high salaries. And they are here as players on the court, obviously, to help give a little bit more structure to the offense. But they're also here, and I think they're pretty cognizant of it, as mentors and examples for these younger players.
Varun, thank you, buddy. We'll check you out in the Washington Post and Everybody Eats. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. Check out the podcast, Everybody Eats.
Let's go.
Thank you, buddy.
Varun Shankar on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Junkies World Tour 2025 lands again in Washington, D.C. We are at CareFirst Arena. We will be joined shortly by Will Dawkins, Wizards general manager, one of their guards, C.J. McCollum, new arrival to Washington. He'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock, and then we'll pivot back to the Commanders at 9:20. Von Miller joins the show, as he does every week throughout the NFL season.
You know, I know we're...
Von's usually in a good mood either way.
Usually. I know we're kind of in a state of panic based on the Commanders' defense, but...
Yeah, as you should be.
You also should credit the Cowboys' offense and Dak Prescott in particular. I just stumbled onto this stat. The only quarterbacks with four or more consecutive games of three passing touchdowns with zero interceptions. Again, it's four games of three passing touchdowns and zero interceptions. He becomes the sixth quarterback. Brady did it in 2007. Peyton Manning did it in 2013. Aaron Rodgers did it once, 2014. Russell Wilson actually did it once when he actually was a good quarterback in 2015. Drew Brees in 2019, and now Dak Prescott. So he's on fire right now.
He really is.
Yeah, before last week, too, I would have said he would have trouble extending that streak as they face the Broncos next week. But we just saw what Jackson Dart did to that defense. I feel like Dak...
Although Jackson Dart was under 50%.
Yeah.
I just mean he was able to find like some of his targets and have success again. So I'm fully expecting Dak to do well.
Well, Denver does get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, and Dak's not real mobile, so maybe he'll be in some trouble there. But then Dallas plays Arizona at home, and then they play the Raiders.
Right.
They should score some points in those games.
You would think.
Right?
Then it toughens up after that. Eagles and Chiefs, both.
Eagles, Chiefs, Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. Dak has been on point, and he's got some legits to throw to.
What is the Dallas Thanksgiving game? Oh, Dallas, Kansas City on Thanksgiving. That's pretty good.
Correct.
It's a pretty good one. Got a plan for your Thanksgiving Day games, EB. About a month out.
Yeah, but my boys aren't playing, right?
Not on Thanksgiving.
No, the Commanders.
They play on Christmas.
Right. Playing the Cowboys on Christmas.
1 o'clock, right. I believe.
Fine. What date is
on Netflix? You better have your Netflix on.
What date does Christmas fall on this year?
I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
Is it like a weekend?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like on a Tuesday or something.
I mean, no. it could be. Some years it falls on a Tuesday.
It's not that hard to look it up, EB. Here, you want to know?
Yeah, let us know. What day?
December 25th is a Thursday.
Christmas on an open line Thursday.
Thursday?
There you have it.
Is Will the Thrill on his way?
I believe he is about to join us. He's going to squeeze here in the middle of our set here at Care First Arena.
Cakes wanted me to move over. I got a pole right here.
I mean,
both Jason and I are like sandwiched between
tight
poles.
We're going to do the best we can with the space that we're allotted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Wizards on the road to start the season tomorrow night. They face the Milwaukee Bucks. I believe they're catching 8.5 points in that game.
Where do we rank in terms of like the roster, age of our roster?
We're
going to ask Will.
Got to be youngest in the
league. Will, what's up?
He's got gifts.
Will Brock, you know, we're easily bought.
We are. We're so easily influenced.
Ben just said we're third youngest. Is that true,
third
Ben?
Third youngest, is that right?
Ben, is that what you said?
All right. Thank you so much, Will. How are you, buddy?
Thank you, Will.
Good. How are we doing,
Our favorite NBA general manager. Always
great to see you.
It's always great with
Grab
us.
Grab a seat. Will Dawkins, Wizards general manager, joins the Junks at
He looks
Care
like
First
he's ready
Arena.
For a workout.
Will.
Do you do a workout in the morning?
Yeah. It's a little earlier today. You guys kind of got me up early
to do
the workout.
It's great to have
you. No, it's
you,
not fun waking up at 4:07 in the morning.
Right. Why 07?
4:07.
So it's seven extra minutes of sleep.
Yeah, it's just,
a random time.
Just random. There's no method to the madness.
Whatever works for you, I like it. No, happy to be here. You guys are my favorite. I love doing
this. Oh, well,
thanks Will. Are you excited for the season? The season gets underway tomorrow. Well, tonight there's a doubleheader to start the season, but tomorrow for you guys.
Man, it's our last practice today. Our guys have been beating each other up. We get on the plane and go to Milwaukee here in a little bit. So.
Right.
Our guys are excited to get after it, man.
Yeah.
Let me just cut right to the chase and ask you an interesting question. Like, so you guys have been in this process. How long have you been officially in this process now?
The rebuild?
Yeah.
I've been here for about 26 months now.
26 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we decided it was necessary after the first couple of weeks and then started it probably during that first season.
So I feel like I loved like the young players you guys are getting.
Appreciate
right?
you.
I do. I like that guy. I think you're getting good players and like something like later in the draft than you might ever expect.
Yeah.
And yet I keep seeing the expectation for wins is still so low, and that's what I don't understand. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think our evaluators they put a lot of time in, and like you know, with us, we're trying to get as many bites at the apple as possible, which is why you see us try to get as many draft picks, because you can find players anywhere in the draft.
Right.
And we've been fortunate to hopefully we think we're going to hit on some of those guys, but they are really, really young. They're in year two.
So is that why? They're just too young.
It takes some time.
Yeah.
But, again, we're going to take off whenever the players are ready, and I think we're giving them those opportunities will make them more
like
ready.
Like,
I mean, the only true veterans you guys have are Chris and CJ.
Yeah.
Am I missing somebody?
I think Anthony Gill is a true veteran.
Okay, Anthony.
He probably doesn't factor in as much early in the playing time.
Right,
but
you're right.
Even bringing back like the Marvin Bagleys, like guys that have connective tissue. Like
true.
Those guys are huge to be around. But CJ and Chris, to have them on a rebuilding team, like that's not
But bad. Is it weird when you look at the roster, when you look at all those names, you're like, okay, this guy's 19, 19, 20, 20, 21, 21, and then there's
– Your boy Bilal's only 21.
I know, but there's no real – there's no middle class.
No.
And then you go to Middleton and CJ.
Yeah, when you talk through, like, the runway
and
how long these guys are 4 or 5 years away from even starting their prime, like, that's what you want.
Right.
So when you see that gap, that's the reason, but – we can't have all puppies and babies out there, so you put those veterans around them to kind of even it out.
One of those guys that you acquired was, and I was a little bit surprised by it because I loved him coming out of college, was Cam Whitmore.
Yes.
Young, still only 21, but he's already got 2 years in the league.
Yeah.
Like, talk us through how you went through acquiring him and bringing him here and adding him to the mix you already have.
Yeah, Cam was someone that we studied pretty hard intensively in that draft. We ended up taking Bilal in that draft, but he was someone who dealt with an injury during the draft process and kind of slid further back, went to a place where he didn't get necessarily as many minutes and opportunities, but our pro scouts are always staying with those guys, and we evaluated him. We stay with him, a local guy who's just a basketball hooper and junkie, and he brings something that we don't have, the physicality, the force, the ability to score, the athleticism, and the defense. Like, he's a complete player, and we can't wait to unleash
him. When Cam was in college at Nova, he was built like a like a fifth-year senior.
It's crazy.
When he was a freshman.
It's crazy.
I mean, he's just a physical specimen.
Yeah, there's not many players at that age that have that level of power and athleticism, and it shows. And he has a rare ability to get to the rim but also shoot the ball.
Let me rewind a little bit. So OKC wins the title last year.
They did.
All right. You were in Oklahoma City for a bunch of years.
15 of them.
15 years. Can you kind of take us through how they built themselves up to a champion and how you're trying to do it here? And then I want to reference the Candace Buckner article. I'm sure you read that in the Washington Post. The article was about whether this rebuild is where it should be.
Yeah. I would say each rebuild is different. We've done a pretty extensive search on the ones that have worked. We've done a pretty extensive search on the ones that haven't, and trying to find that timeline of what really works for that. I think I was very fortunate in Oklahoma City to do two different rebuilds, and we had to do them two different ways. Both were built through the draft. A lot of luck and a lot of fortune's got to come your way, but you got to make a lot of good decisions, and I think that's what we as an organization led by Sam Presti did in Oklahoma City, and we're intentional on when we were doing it, how we were doing it. And we're doing a similar thing here because Travis Schlenk's been through it in Atlanta. Michael Winger's been through it with me in Oklahoma City. So we have a bunch of people who have gone through the process before. And I'd say we have a clear vision on what we want to do, how we want to get it done, and we're executing that right now. I feel pretty good about the rebuild.
When you say bites at the apple, and you know, so that means you're taking shots at as many guys as possible. Does that mean kind of regardless of position?
I think the way we want to play, yes. I think you'll see us out there with, like, two bigs. You'll see us out there with all five wings. Like, I think the game of basketball is transitioning. So we have a lot of players we like, but we're also not naive. We know that not every single player is going to make it through.
Right.
But we want to give guys opportunities this year so we can make some decisions coming forward. So, again, there's a lot of opportunity for these young guys to play, and we want some of these guys to step up and kind of seize that this year.
So for OKC, obviously Shea led the way.
Yes.
And that was a trade piece.
Yes.
A lot of the other guys were draft pieces.
Correct.
And the trade piece was because you had Paul George.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you were able to trade Paul George and get picks and get Shea, who became the MVP of the league and who's the leading scorer and led them to a championship.
That's a grand slam is what that is.
Right. Now, you know, you maybe don't have a Paul George, but the reality is guys like C.J. McCollum and Chris Middleton are probably trade pieces.
I would say not necessarily because where they are in their careers and kind of where they were at, Paul George was kind of still in his prime at that time. But, again, each rebuild is different. And for us, you were lucky to get someone early on in their career. It was after year one with Shea, so you're still kind of in that mold where you can kind of grow. But it's more about the infrastructure that you're building, and we've put a lot of time in the support system around these players and building the environment to where
so the development
they can
of the
grow.
Players.
So it's all about player development, and that's kind of what we're focused on. And whenever you get someone in your career, like that's important to start from day one.
All right, so let's start with your top pick last year.
Yes.
Alex Sarr.
Yes.
I think he had a good rookie season.
Yeah, all rookie, I'd say so.
What have you seen in his development just like in the summer to where he is this year? I think maybe he'll never be some Kevin Durant type scorer.
Yeah.
But I remember watching him in the first preseason game when he was missing all those shots. I think it was the very first summer league game.
Yeah, it was in Vegas. Everybody was killing him because he had a rough couple of games in Vegas.
Right, but I liked that he was taking the shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were all fine shots.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think you'll see the difference with Alex this year is just more confidence and more mindset. He's added, I think, 11 pounds. He's grown half an inch. Like, these guys are still growing physically. But the mindset to get downhill, to be at the rim, protect the rim. But when you have guys that are him that have a special ability to defend, protect the paint, and make plays and make threes, like the combination and stats that he put up as a rookie, I think are really impressive. Give him a little bit more credit to that, but he's not satisfied. He's come back a better player, and he's ready to show
it. So he averaged, did he average 13-7 around there?
Right around there, almost two blocks.
So what are you looking for, close to 20?
Not necessarily on the points, because I think the offense is going to come from him. He's got to dictate the game a little bit more.
Gotcha.
And he was one of the most elite switchers defensively last year, but also someone who could protect the paint. So if he's anchoring our defense, playing with energy, playing with force, good things are going to come.
Right.
We're joined by Will Dawkins, Wizards general manager. Now, I get goofed on for my irrational love of Bilal Coulibaly. We know this.
Messed up.
Okay? It's out there. My take is, look, he's 21. He's not a finished product. He improved from year one to year two. Now, it sucks that he's injured and won't be on the court to start the season. Give us your review on Bilal through the first 2 years and what do you expect from him in year three.
Yeah, I think it's good to level set with him.
Yeah.
2 years ago, this guy was playing Pro B in France and didn't even know he'd be like a professional player in France.
Right.
And he went on this meteoric rise. It's not his fault that he was drafted seventh by us. Like, we believed in him. But it wasn't necessarily year two, year three where we thought we'd get the best basketball. When we talk about runways, we knew his athleticism, his defense is going to be elite, and then his offense is going to come just because of the playmaking who he is. And he's taken a lot of strides in the first 2 years, and you could even see him when he was playing with the Olympics just a little bit defending. Then last year playing with Eurobasket before he broke his thumb, like the strides he's making on offense with the French national team is pretty impressive, and it won't be too long till he's back on the court. So I'm not too worried about him missing these games.
We're long game guys.
Long game.
There's a guy sitting here, I won't mention any names, that expects him to score 20 points out of the gate as an 18-year-old.
That's not realistic. It doesn't happen too often, but if you look at the archetype players that we think he's going to be, he's right on line statistically with those guys through the first 2 years. So I would say push pause and keep confidence on that one.
All right, but I bet you that Trey Johnson this year will show more flashes offensively than Bilal did during his rookie season.
They're different players.
Right.
They're absolutely different players. Trey's been scoring 40 points a game since he's been in high school.
Right.
Like that's what he does. Mm-hmm. That's weapon number one. We've learned that he has other weapons.
He's going to break that Wizards rookie three-point shooting record.
He's definitely going to break the attempts.
Probably by midseason.
He's going to break the attempts.
Right. Where is he in the rotation right now? Is he a backup shooter?
I think he'll be coming off the bench game one just based on how Brian's kind of done his rotations through the preseason. But, again, he's going to play starter-level minutes.
Right.
We're going to have a lot of guys in and out. He's going to have his opportunities. But, as you guys know, the defensive side is the harder side for rookies. So, when you see him, Will, Jameer, like they got to kind of earn their chops on that end. But Trey's someone who can score from all levels of the floor.
Hey,
he's wired to score, and he works his behind.
I have a rookie of the year ticket on him. What do you think about that? Pretty good odds, too. Plus 900.
He'll be all rookie. That's my goal for him. I think he'll be all
rookie. Rookie of the year for it's not an all rookie ticket.
I'm not putting the ceiling. I'm giving you the floor.
Okay.
I'm giving you the
all
floor.
Right. All right.
Be all rookie.
There's a guy down in Dallas who's pretty good.
I understand.
Yeah, but if he gets
we'll
hurt,
you'll see him in a couple days.
Yeah. That's right. You will.
Hey, of all the young guys that you've drafted, though, so many of these guys have kind of guys like Bub that you think, we'll see. And then, real contributor. Who's been the biggest surprise? Is it fair to say maybe Keyshawn? The biggest surprise? Like, you didn't know what you had when you drafted him, and now, like, wow.
I would say a lot of these guys have been given opportunities to play. So, like, kudos to Brian Keefe and his staff and putting these guys in situations to earn minutes and, like, really, really play and get through it. I think Keyshawn is one of those guys that made the jumps quicker than we thought he would. We have a lot of confidence in all of the guys we've drafted, starting with Bilal and Tristan in that class, leading up to the class we've had this year. But Keyshawn's someone whose confidence has grown in a way that he believes it even more now.
Right.
And I think you'll see that he's added the physicality to his game. He's added size. I think he grew a whole inch. Like, he's taller than Bilal now. Like, these dudes are so young, they keep growing.
What's up with all these guys growing all these inches, man? I stalled out at 5'8". I just want to be like 5'10".
Your build is for this career. Their build is for that
career. My build is definitely much for this,
it's called,
more for this career.
It's genetics.
But you don't know what his build was like in college. Did you scout him at Towson?
Very similar. Very similar.
So is Alex 7'1"?
Yeah, pretty close. He grew a half an inch this year, so he's
pretty, close to 7'1".
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
But 7'1", I think he's over 240 now. So, like, imagine those guys 5 years from now, like when they're really in their prime and they have their build and they know the IQ and have learned the game and they have like the familiarity. Like, that's what we're playing for long term. Like, that's when we'll be in the playoff runs and sustain success. Hopefully before that, but like, that's when they'll be in their peak. And we still have other picks that we can keep adding to the draft pool and adding to the team. So that's where you study the length of the rebuild, and we like kind of where we're at.
What's the youngest player right now that you are scouting?
Me personally or our team?
Your team.
Our evaluators.
Are you guys scouting 12-year-olds?
No, it's really like 15 right now.
15.
The U15 stuff in Europe, the high school stuff. There's some ninth graders that are starting to pop, but our grassroots is really, really deep. They spend a lot of time. We have specific people who only focus on high school grassroots and only focus on like international young players. And they pass that portfolio off to the scouts that do college. And then when they become pros, they pass those off to the guy when they become pros. So, like, it's broken up. Myself, I probably start watching summer of sophomore year at kind of the high school level and the grassroots level. So,
do you go to a lot of
like
local
16.
Games? Because it's a
you
hotbed.
Can't go to actual games.
Oh, you can't.
You can't.
Have to
it has
from
to
afar.
Be like specific like segments that they're allowed for NBA people to go to. But the summer is where they really open it up. You can see a lot of the AAU stuff. But there's special tournaments, and DC is a hotbed, as you guys know, for basketball. So college coaches and recruiters are always coming here. So we host them in our building and spend time with them. So it's definitely an advantage being in DC.
Do you anticipate players maybe staying in college a little bit more with NIL money?
Yes,
or are those the guys you're not that interested in?
No, I think you've seen that already. It affects the second round more than does the first. Like, the money you'll make in the NBA as a first rounder can't compete with what you'll make in college. So I think you see more guys going back in the second round. But you see a guy like Jameer Watkins, like, we're targeting those guys. And we think he's got the capability to defend and compete. and we got him in the second round. So, again, multiple cracks is all you're looking for.
Will, we know you have to run. It's a busy time of the year. We appreciate you swinging by, and best of luck in Milwaukee.
Appreciate you
guys. Appreciate it, man. All right,
I got a question you guys on the Louvre, though. Like, we need better knowledge on the Louvre and museums. Yeah. I was listening early on. Like, I was a little disappointed from you guys.
Our knowledge.
How many museums have you been to?
I'll say I've been very privileged. Okay. I've been to the Louvre at least 3 times.
Oh, you're cold.
Really? Alone.
You know
alone.
So much. You're so smart.
Alone?
Alone, just the Louvre. My kids have been to the Louvre. Like, they're on my screensaver at the Louvre right now. We went this summer. So, like, I actually enjoy that part, so I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, but have you been to the Chapel Hill Museum right before you
got there?
That's pretty sick.
And you also said Canton. And you also didn't say Springfield, Massachusetts, home of the basketball.
I haven't been there.
I'm really disappointed in you guys this morning.
Well, I've been to the other two.
That hurt my heart.
I've been to Cooperstown. I've been to Canton. I haven't been to
Springfield.
Are those museums, do those count as museums?
Those count for me.
They do?
They're that level.
Yeah, they're sports museums.
They're sports museums.
I feel like we're getting culture shamed by Will Dawkins. And
you didn't mention Springfield, guys.
It's valid.
That hurts my heart.
It's valid.
Just because none of us have been there.
It is.
We got to take a trip. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks again. It's Will Dawkins, Wizards General Manager. Don't forget C.J. McCollum from the Wizards also will join us coming up at 9 o'clock here on the Junks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.